cancer? How could God let my child die? How could my house be in foreclosure? When we are in a storm, most of our time is spent trying to figure out how to get out of it. Usually, we're so focused on getting out that we can't see straight. No one can see clearly in a storm. That's why we must walk by faith and not simply by what we can see. The storm is hard, but there's a purpose for the storm. The storm is uncomfortable, but there's a purpose for your discomfort. God has plans for you even in the storm. Just because you are in a storm does not negate the presence of God. When you get through battling the storm, you'll have more wisdom, more tenacity, more power, more vision to take you forward. The storm can make you stronger and give you confidence to handle future challenges. It's a part of our growing process. Parents must allow their children to learn how to struggle well and grow strong enough to survive. A young woman who suffered massive injuries from a car accident recalled how her mother allowed her to struggle during her rehabilitation process. I had to learn how to do everything all over again. I had to learn how to tie my shoes. I remember falling off the couch one day. My mother heard me fall, but she never came to help me. I was so angry with her at the time because it took me almost an hour to get myself back on the couch. I later realized that she allowed me to struggle so that I could learn to live independently again. God will not make you comfortable in your storm, but will be right there with you. God has reserved a place for you in life that is your destiny. That is a divine promise from your Creator. You will arrive at destiny if you do not give up and you do not succumb to the storm. Don't be so distracted by the storm that you lose awareness of God's presence in the storm. Are you steering your life based on what you see, or are you steering your life based on what you believe? Instead of steering in the sensual realm, steer in the faith realm. Before the first streak of lightning flashes, before the thunder rolls, and before you even get wet, get one thing settled. I'm going to make it out of this storm. When you see the dark clouds rolling in and feel the moisture in the air, determine that you are going to come out. You may not have the details or a complete plan to make it out. You may not have the money to make it out. You may not have the social or political connections to make it out. No matter how it's going to happen, resolve in your spirit that you will make it out of that storm. The most important things in life require struggle. As you battle your storm, look for the people who struggled and made it through. They can help you know you're not alone. They can encourage you to hang in there because the storm won't last forever. They can support you when you feel like you're about to drown under the pressure. They can help you know that if they made it out, so can you. Find some people who've struggled in a similar way and made it out. Establish relationships with trusted people who can keep you connected and sane while you're going through the storm. You need people who can provide affirmation that they made it out and that you too will see your way past the storm. Change your mind to a new normal. Once you reset your mind and have cultivated a new normal, you may on rare occasions revert back to old thoughts or behaviors. But do not worry or freak out. Since it's no longer your normal, it won't be a permanent reversion. You might get back in it, but you won't stay in it. A pig and a sheep can fall in the same mud. The pig is defaulted to like the mud because it cools him down and keeps his body temperature from rising too high. But if a sheep finds himself in that same mud, he will say, "I don't belong in this mess," and set about getting out. Find out where you belong and determine how to get there. You may have to first get out of the place where you don't belong. When I lived in West Virginia, I knew a woman who was in a very abusive relationship. Her husband was a very big guy about my size, and she was about a third of his size. He used to beat her mercilessly, but she always went back to him. No matter what we said to her, she would always go back to him. One day she finally realized, I don't belong in this mess. And when she changed her mind, she no longer accepted herself as an abused woman. The husband could no longer hold her captive mentally or physically. As long as her mind was enslaved to his abuse, she was captive. The same is true about being captive to debt, ignorance, illiteracy, or whatever terrorizes you. You may have been through some terrible and degrading circumstances, abuse, job loss, bankruptcy, assault, but you don't have to be captive to those experiences. The first challenge is getting your mind out of there. Once the mind is free, all else becomes possible. Once you get your mind clear, you can see the beautiful person you've become and pursue your destiny. The mind is a personal war zone between right and wrong, success and struggle, destiny and mediocrity. It doesn't matter how successful you are, the battle is still there. You will always have the challenge of keeping your mind in a new place of normal because there are constantly new situations, new challenges, and new opportunities. If you are not flexible enough to change what's in your head, you can't change your life. Losing weight, being faithful in marriage, going after a new job, living honest and true. Change the mind, or you won't change anything else. Are you willing to allow a new truth to be planted in your mind to replace past experiences, or will you instead be imprisoned to a future of ignorance, of weakness, or evil, or fear? A changed mind means even if people come at you with the same behavior, you don't respond in the same way you used to. Growing up, I was the baby of the family. My brother and sister used to tickle me, and it made me laugh. So they kept doing it. I would laugh so hard that I couldn't breathe. I didn't like the feeling, but I couldn't get them to stop. Through that experience, I found a secret that was more powerful than coercing them to stop tickling me. I changed my mind. Since I couldn't control their tickling, I decided that I would no longer respond to their tickling with laughter. And they stopped. When they could no longer get the desired result, they no longer wanted to tickle me. That early experience taught me a valuable lifelong lesson about the power of a made-up mind. When you decide that you are not inadequate, the person who always puts you down with negative comments will no longer have power over you. The person who makes you feel inferior or intimidates you will have no impact on your changed mind. You don't have to be anything you don't want. Emotions, feelings, thoughts, or fears are secondary. Change your mind. Chapter 8. Time flies even when you're not having fun. Take steps to protect your priceless commodity. The sooner you develop a mindset for destiny, the more days you will have to devote your gifts to the world. The more efficiently you use your time to get to know yourself, the greater your opportunity to make the most of the days you are given on earth. Appreciate the value of time by focusing on what's in front of you, not by lamenting what's behind you. You've heard the expression, hindsight is 20/20. At any stage of life, we can look back at who we were and see the gifts or the potential we overlooked in ourselves. We see missed opportunities that we can't go back and reclaim. We see youthful vigor that has waned over the years. Hindsight can fuel feelings of regret when we fail to capitalize on the value of time. Have you ever said, I wish I knew then what I know now? That's a reflection made by a person who realizes the value of time and youth. Children and teens can hardly wait to grow up. Then finally high school and college years pass by and you're working your first job and you get your first apartment. Then age 30 hits and after that time starts passing quickly. The years just zoom by. You look back over your life and wonder where the years went. Time is our most valuable resource because it cannot be reproduced or replicated. Once it's gone, it's gone. You can get more money even if you file for bankruptcy. You can get another job after you lose one. You can get another car if yours is repossessed. You can get another spouse or another house. You cannot get more time if you lose it or waste it. You don't want to lament time wasted or lost because you were not in tune with your destiny. Be careful with the gift of time. Don't regret missed opportunities. Be wise enough to know that right now you are smart enough, attractive enough, and secure enough to walk the trail of destiny. German-born theologian and author Joseph Wittig observed that a biography should begin with the person's death because none of us has control over how we were born, but we all have a great deal to do with the way our lives end. Whatever circumstances we were born into, we can choose how we use our time and make a difference in our lives. Every day is a withdrawal from the bank of time. I've never calmly accepted the notion of people stealing from me. I may give it to you, but I never accept any excuse for being robbed. The older I get, I recognize that my most precious commodity that needs protection from thieves and robbers isn't the material goods one would normally protect. Clothes, cars, jewelry, houses, money, or investments are not my most valuable asset. Time is what I have learned to guard and hold precious. I can buy a new watch or a coat or a car if mine gets stolen, but I can't get back my time. It's irreplaceable. Therefore, it's priceless. The value of time accrues interest as it slips away. Our expanded use of technology is a prime example. A 60-year-old adult who is just now getting into the game of smartphones and computers has a huge learning curve to overcome. Conversely, a 60-year-old adult who has been using a computer for 20 years has a much less difficult time staying current with technological changes. I struggle to keep up with the new and improved world in which we live. Gadgets and gigabytes have taken a bite out of my confidence, as I have to ask my grandchildren how to upload a picture to Instagram or download a document in a new file that I don't have an app for. Time and technology are racing so fast that if my parents were here today, they'd be hard-pressed to complete a transaction in the grocery store. Truthfully, I almost get embarrassed at the market trying to check out. Imagine a bank credits your account each morning with $86,400. It carries over no balance from day to day. At midnight, the account resets to another $86,400 and deletes whatever part of the previous day's balance you failed to use. There's no guarantee you will ever be given another day with $86,400. What would you do? Draw out every cent, of course. Each of us has such a bank. Its name is time. Each morning you awaken with a credit of 86,400 seconds. Every night what you have failed to use is lost. Time carries over no balances from day to day. Time allows no overdraft, and you can't hold on to what you did not use the day before. If you fail to use today's deposits, the loss is yours. There is no going back. There is no drawing against the tomorrow. Live in the present on today's deposits. Time is priceless. I watched at my mother's bedside as she passed away, as her breath faded for every 60 seconds that she remained alive. I realized the value of a minute. Her transitioning helped me understand how many precious seconds of my own life I had allowed doubt and fear to creep in and rob me blind of moments that I would never regain. I can still hear the faint breaths escaping from her fragile lungs every time I find myself parked on the road to destiny by some triviality that doesn't warrant a rest stop or a decrease in the speed of my life. Thinking of my mother's death caused me to become much more protective of my time and how I spend it. My mom, who was a teacher, taught me a valuable lesson that I am trying to pass on to you. I have walked the halls of Congress and seen representatives and senators still serving at age 80 and wondered why so many of us buy into the notion that our contributions to life end at 65. Just because you don't do what you used to do doesn't mean you can't contribute anything. Destiny won't allow us to spend our days aimless and listless, only realizing what we've lost after it's gone. To understand the value of 1 year, just ask a high school senior who failed a grade. To know the significance of 1 month, talk to a mother who gave birth to a premature baby. How valuable is an hour? Ask the businessman who had a delayed flight and missed an important business meeting. Every single minute is priceless. If you don't think so, just ask the man who had a heart attack and the emergency medical team arrived in the nick of time to save his life. You can't underestimate the value of even a second. Just ask the person who barely missed a head-on collision with an oncoming car. Even a millisecond can change your life like it would for an Olympic hopeful who missed qualifying by 0.6 seconds. Mind your own business. Most of us feel there is never enough time, that there are too many things pulling at us. Why do we feel there isn't time to accomplish our destiny? The issue is not time or that you are busy, but whether the actions and activities that consume your time are leading to your destiny, or are they the priorities of others who want you to further their agenda? Are you spending time doing what actually hinders your ability to get where you want to be? It's easy to let someone else's interests control your life. Their agenda can consume your time. Don't spend your time on activities that have nothing to do with your destiny. Don't get bogged down in what fulfills everyone else's needs but your own. You don't have time to pursue anybody else's course to destiny. It will take all of your time to stay on your own track. Yes, share your time, but don't invest more in others than in yourself. People who give of themselves can wrongly believe that destiny is for everyone but them. They encourage everyone but themselves. They push others, but never focus on themselves. Living through others is not destiny. Beware of the fast pursuit of destiny. When we see a speed demon zipping down the road, we move out of the way because we know they crash. Some are traveling their life's path with great speed. Everything has to happen quickly. They're going to get where they're going fast. They're going to move ahead of everyone. They don't have time for anything going on around them because they're trying to get someplace right away. You may even envy their quick success. Then somewhere down the road, they crash. Sometimes from addiction, perhaps from public scandal, and there's no Olivia Pope to save them. Sometimes from getting everything they wanted, only to be miserable. Sometimes the challenges and difficulties are what cause us to know the value of what we have accomplished. Our culture values quickness. We want the fastest internet speed for our computer. We have become accustomed to getting our meals quickly from fast food restaurants. We prize fast cars. Institutes specialize in distance learning, promoting how quickly you can get an education. Lenders advertise instant loans obtained by phone or online. Our obsession with all things fast makes us want to put our destiny on a stopwatch, too, but destiny cannot and will not be rushed. Our fast-paced culture can cause us to become frustrated with destiny's process. Jensen Franklin, my colleague in ministry, observed, "We are a microwave generation serving a crockpot God." Destiny's pace does not quicken because we are in a hurry. Trust God that there is a reason for delays and seeming setbacks. God is slowly blending ingredients in the crockpot of your life, allowing the flavors to simmer and blend. That slow creative process cannot happen in a microwave oven. A microwave is a convenient appliance, but it was never meant to replace a conventional oven. Some things simply take time. Cakes, pot roasts, and turkeys are best served when they have been prepared slowly with attention to detail of all the ingredients needed. A rush cooking just doesn't produce the best meal. Likewise, a fast-track career can be successful, but there's no cheating time and experience. A person who has a fast ride to success will hit some really hard bumps along the way. The slower journey allows time for maturity and experience to shape you into the person who comfortably fits into your destiny. Destiny's process is establishing your foundation, creating a stronger you who has the ability to endure everything your destiny demands. There is a plan for your life, that it unfolds slowly rather than magically appearing in an instantaneous puff of smoke can, however, be frustrating and discouraging. Savor every moment in time. If you took a cross-country road trip from the East Coast to the West Coast and could see only the highway that lay ahead, you would miss all the scenery, vast landscapes, changing climate conditions, and people along the way. You would not experience the southern charm of the friendly gas station attendant, beautiful rows of agriculture as you travel through the Midwest, bright lights of the desert oasis Las Vegas, or the national landmarks along the route. You would get to your destination, but you wouldn't know anything about getting there. You would be glad to arrive at your destination, but wouldn't the journey have been much richer had you experienced what you only passed to get there? Do not be so consumed with reaching your destiny that you ignore that destiny is a process. The journey to destiny is just as purposeful as what you accomplish when you get where you want to be. Mistakes, regrets, victories, and people you meet all are part of your magnificent journey. When President Obama took his second oath of office before leaving the platform and ascending the few steps to disappear into the canopied corridor of the U.S. Capitol, he turned and paused to take one last long look at the tens of thousands of Americans who had gathered on that cold January day to witness his second inaugural ceremony. He knew he would never again stand in that spot as President of the United States. It was a moment, I'm sure, he wanted to savor. We can be so busily engaged in the process of destiny that we forget to take the time to savor special, even ordinary moments. We discover only in hindsight how much more we might have gleaned from those moments if only we had been paying attention. We start to realize what we missed when a strange-looking boy comes to the front door to date the little girl in pigtails who used to cling to her mother's leg. The boy who loved playing with Ninja Turtles is now only interested in getting his allowance and the keys to your car. From your corner office, you see a newly hired employee, a young college graduate full of idealism and determination to challenge the system, trotting off to lunch with colleagues, and you smile, because that was once you. You may hear a song on your favorite oldie station that reminds you of your college days and the carefree times you shared with roommates and classmates. As you prepare for your destiny tomorrow, take the time to savor your journey to destiny, your today. Enjoy the times of your life, even the bumpy moments. Take pleasure in now with all of its challenges. You will not have a perfectly smooth journey to the life you desire. Upsets, setbacks, and outright failures will be sprinkled in with what will inevitably seem like too few successes. But savor your life for what it is now. Treasure every moment that you have. Heed the wise words of cartoonist Bill Keane. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is mystery. Today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. Destiny doesn't retire. I saw my dear friend Joyce Myers teaching from a chair on television the other day and thought, no matter what malady she may be facing, she is still serving her generation and remaining productive. Talk about a message on faith. Service against all odds is proof positive that faith is not daunted by time. You and I must value the moments we have on this earth and not allow the inevitable need to change certain methodologies to intimidate us from being productive. For example, most job applications today are completed online, so if your computer skills are poor, you may have a difficult time finding a job. Also, nowadays, some things can only be bought online using a credit or debit card. If you can only pay by cash or check, you may experience anxiety trying to buy on the internet. I never want to be like the Bible character Naomi, who had lulled her faith to sleep because she had lost loved ones and was entering into a new season. Naomi had to learn that her assignment had merely changed, not ended. It's important to recognize changed assignments. As we grow older, physical limitations may impose limits on what we hope to accomplish. All we need is the faith and determination to continue despite our challenges. It's so easy to write off the future once we get to a certain age. I was about 40 years old when I visited my aging grandmother and foolishly announced to her that I was getting old. In my mind, I was old, as I was the oldest I had ever been. She snickered at my misguided calculation and responded with words I will never forget. She looked at me and smiled. "Tommy, as long as you can get up without planning it for 30 minutes, you're not old." Grandma taught me in that moment that perspective has everything to do with production. Could it be possible that in order to remain productive, you may need to change your perspective? We have to pay attention to what's going on around us. If not, we will begin to think that every successful person is younger, smarter, or has more savvy to get ahead. Truthfully, many adults are enrolled in college to obtain undergraduate or advanced degrees. More people than ever are taking early retirement incentive packages and leaving corporate or government positions to engage in a different purpose. Often people work jobs that may not be fulfilling or even desirable because they have a family to support or some other type of obligation that commits them to a certain line of work. But when the kids are grown and self-supporting, or the aged parent has passed on, or the mortgage is paid off, people start looking at life for the things they want to do rather than the things they feel they have to do. Please make every effort not to be the person who grows old and bitter because of lost opportunities, while failing to affirm younger people who understand and have seized every valuable moment. Someone wisely observed, today you're the oldest that you've ever been and the youngest that you will ever be. Time is winding up, not moving backwards. You will never go back to the way things used to be. The good old days, which some lament are gone, probably weren't all that great in the first place. People tend to glorify the past, especially when they are struggling with the future. Admittedly, we are all growing older by the millisecond, but just because time continues to move forward is no reason to shrink into unproductivity and allow opportunities to be stolen by your fears. The cool breeze of death warms the heart to maximize the moment. Sometimes the reality of time lost is the fire that ignites under our feet to get us moving on to new avenues of destiny. Age is no excuse for a lack of productivity. As long as you awaken each morning, you have more to do. We can take examples from so many people who made significant accomplishments at an age most people mark for retirement. Grandma Moses did not start painting until she was 76. She tried her hand as an artist when her hands became too stiff to crochet. Satchel Paige became the oldest Major League Baseball player at age 59 when he played for the Kansas City Athletics in 1965. Coco Chanel was the head of her fashion design firm at age 85. Author Laura Ingalls Wilder published her first book at age 64, chronicling her life as a wife and mother, which was the basis for the television series Little House on the Prairie. You can retire from a job, but not from your destiny. Every day you awaken is a sign that you have more to contribute to life. If you didn't, you'd be dead. So stop worrying about what it's too late for you to do and concentrate on the skills you have and how they can make a valuable contribution to society. Maybe you can't accomplish the thing you dreamed of originally, but that's no reason to tuck your destiny in a file cabinet. You can't make it in the NBA at age 40, but you can help train young athletes and remind them to keep their heads on straight amid the accolades of the cheering crowds. You may have passed the time for having a baby of your own, but you can still adopt or mentor children through a respected community program. The aging process may give you the wisdom and exposure you need to engage in a project or task you never envisioned. Remember the saying that age is just a number. It's important to respect time as a valuable commodity, but it's even more important to savor whatever time you have left to maximize each moment for destiny. Take your eyes off the clock. As valuable as time is, you don't have to be crippled by feeling you have lost time. You may have missed many opportunities and feel like you've gotten so far off track in your life that destiny seems impossible. As you look at the accomplishments of others, it may seem like they have traveled the superhighway of success, while you have been consigned to the scenic route and the view ain't looking too good. Most people are not happy with what they have accomplished over the span of their life. If you became a millionaire by age 50, you may feel inadequate because you're comparing yourself to someone who became a millionaire by age 21. If you earned a PhD at age 40, you may feel inadequate because so many others finished before the age of 30. When you focus on doing you, you can appreciate the accomplishments you've made, even though achieving them took longer than you planned. Doing you may mean it takes you longer to succeed at something than it does someone else. If you're thinking you're too old to achieve your dream, ask yourself how old you will become if you give up the pursuit. Time is important. It's critical. But don't let the passage of time be your excuse for not pursuing destiny. You still have purpose. Looking at the clock to judge your accomplishments can make you want to give up. Keep pushing. Your delays may have given you experience and wisdom that will propel you to the place you are supposed to be. Your setbacks may have given you the maturity to know how to focus on what is important. Your disappointments may have set you up to seize and truly appreciate future opportunities. God's time is not ours. We don't add up time the same way God does, so don't try. You'll only frustrate yourself since time is in the Almighty's hands. God can use every day you have left to complete the task you have been called to fulfill. Time is too precious to waste, but time is not the determining factor in your destiny. That is a partnership between you and your Creator. Don't die in your nest. In Chapter 2, I discussed eagles. A mother eagle gets her eaglets out of the nest and lets them learn to fly. The day comes when every person must leave the security of the nest and pursue their destiny. However, I've known people who never come out of their nest. They always have an excuse for why they haven't accomplished anything or why they've been hindered from fulfilling a dream. Don't die in your nest. Get out and live the life God has intended for you. Only you can live it. God needs you to live it. You need you to live it. Ours is an interesting culture where everyone wants to live a long time, but nobody wants to be old. Longevity, however, should not be our primary life purpose. It's easy to live a long time, at least in America. Look at the United States Department of Health and Human Services statistics. Out of every 100,000 persons, 94% reach 50 years of age. More than 77% make it to 70, and almost 40% get to 85 or more. Lots of people live a long time, but the important thing is what they do with that time. Rather, we should be concerned with giving significance and value to all of our years. Most of the products we buy at the grocery store have expiration dates. Anyone who has ever had a glass of milk after the date on the container knows it's important to pay attention to the date stamped on the package. None of us knows our life expiration date, but we all can be certain that it is coming. Since we know this is true, how should we approach the days God has given us? How many days have you lived, and what have you done with those days? Young Ruby Bridges was chosen at age 6 to integrate New Orleans elementary schools. She had lived only about 2,200 days before showing the world the faith of a child as she marched innocently to school amid racist chants. Anne Frank lived only about 5,700 days, but the diary she wrote about her days in isolation during World War II would touch the world. Martin Luther King lived only about 14,300 days, but he changed history during his 39 years. Our lives are a series of days, one after another. Each day is an opportunity to either seize destiny's invitation or pass it by. Chapter 9. Keep the Destiny Vision. Connect where you came from to where you're going. Mr. Smith goes to heaven. St. Peter is stationed at the pearly gates to take heaven's newest resident on a tour. The two walk together, viewing all the glories of heaven, the streets paved with gold, the palatial houses of the faithful. The man notices a warehouse that doesn't fit in the heavenly scenery. The building has no windows, only one door. "What is inside the building?" he asks. St. Peter hesitates to respond. "You really don't want to see inside there." Mr. Smith wonders, "Why would there be secrets in heaven? There must be something awfully special in there." He pleads to see inside the building. Finally, Peter relents. "Okay, Mr. Smith, but remember that I told you that you really don't want to see what's inside." The door opens and Mr. Smith rushes inside. To his delight, the cavernous structure is filled with row after row of shelves, each neatly stacked floor to ceiling with beautiful boxes. Tied in red ribbons, each box has a name on it. "Do I have one of these?" Mr. Smith asks St. Peter. "Yes, you do," St. Peter replies as he tries to guide Mr. Smith back outside. But Mr. Smith sprints to the S section and finds the box with his name on it. As St. Peter catches up, Mr. Smith is slipping the red ribbon from his box and lifting the lid. He looks inside and instantly recognizes the contents. He releases a deep sigh of regret. St. Peter had heard this sigh countless times. Inside the box are all the gifts God wanted to give Mr. Smith while he was on earth, but unfortunately, Mr. Smith had never tried to use the gifts he received. So God could not give him more. Don't leave your God-given gifts unopened. Don't leave this planet having missed the great opportunities God has for you. Rip off the lid of your abilities, tear into that box that is your talents, and use every gift God has given you. Devote yourself to fulfilling the unique purpose that is your destiny. Run the race with blinders on. Few things are more beautiful than the grace, form, and style of a racehorse in competition. In addition to all the years of planning, training, and grooming, a horse race relies on a small but critical apparatus, the horse's headgear. This essential piece of equipment makes all the difference in the race. Blinkers block the racehorse's rear and side vision, forcing him to focus only in a forward direction. Racehorses need blinders, or blinkers as they are known professionally, to keep them from getting off track during the race. What if you could don a set of blinkers to keep you focused on destiny and undistracted by the circumstances around you? What if blinkers could help you ignore the criticism of people who don't think you're doing a good enough job, although you're giving it your best? Blinkers could help you forget the past that you need to leave behind. Wouldn't destiny be so much simpler if we could wear headgear to help us ignore what doesn't matter? If there was such a device, you would lose the benefits to having full vision. Peripheral vision prevents you from getting blindsided. You must be able to look back to know what not to return to. You need the ability to see if anything is approaching you from behind, but you can develop the capacity to wear helpful mental blinkers. When horses race, they are close together, so it is essential that they not pay attention to what the horse to the right and the left are doing. Each horse's ability to finish the race depends on his focus on the track ahead. Learn the art of wearing the mental blinker so you are not easily distracted by someone else's race. Your best friend from high school already has a master's degree, and you're just getting back in school to finish your undergraduate studies. Your neighbor just bought a big luxury car, and you're driving old reliable that's paid off so you can afford to pay down your credit card debt. All your girlfriends have gotten married, and you're the only single one left. You're stymied from reaching your destiny because you're too worried about what other people are saying about you, consumed with who has more money in the bank, a bigger house, more education, or the most prestigious career. Put on your blinkers. Your mental blinkers will keep you from being distracted by convention and fear and stagnation. Distractions destroy destiny. Someone else's journey has nothing to do with yours. When your own journey is not taking the straight course you'd like, it's easy to focus on what someone else is doing. Cultivate the ability to stay on track, your track, and keep moving forward. Certainly, you can pay attention to another person's journey to gain insight or inspiration, but do not become competitive. Focus on where you're headed. As the Wizard of Oz told Dorothy and her crew, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. Don't spend your time obsessing about what others are doing. Traveling your own path to destiny is all-consuming. Your mental blinkers can also help you ignore the counterproductive thoughts and feelings going on inside you when the path gets hard and rocky. Get your mind right by putting on your blinkers to ignore the feeling of anxiety that can incapacitate you. Your blinkers can help you ignore the insecurities that make you afraid to say, "My work is good enough." Your blinkers can help you shut down the negative message that what you desire is impossible. Your blinkers will keep your vision of destiny before you, so you will continue infusing it with all your energies. All of these negative speculations are distractions that will weigh you down and get your life out of focus. Don't obsess about what other people are doing. Your destiny is not living to keep up with the Joneses. What God has for your life is much more exciting than imagining what goes on in anyone else's. Your path to destiny is like no one else's. Keep looking ahead and let God's creativity unfold in your life and amaze you. I was almost grown before I realized that when I was a child, we were poor. All I knew then was that life was good and that my parents loved us. We didn't have a lot of things, but we had love. As I grew older, from time to time, I encountered things that let me know we were poor. I remember not knowing what spaghetti sauce was. I didn't know what a meatball was either. When our mama made spaghetti, she poured ketchup on it. The first time I saw real spaghetti sauce, I was leery about eating it. "Why does that spaghetti have stuff in it?" I asked when I saw the green peppers and meatballs and spices in the sauce. Things like that helped me to know we were poor. But though my mother poured ketchup on the spaghetti we ate, my parents also gave us a glimpse into a way of life beyond what our economic status would allow. They took us to free ballet and symphony performances to expose us to other cultures They drove us to wealthy neighborhoods so that we could see how other people lived. Our parents took the time to teach us many things. My father, a janitor who built his own business, talked to us about the business, the importance of paying quarterly income taxes and keeping paperwork in order. And even though I was just a little kid who was only interested in playing, the lessons he taught me stayed with me and helped position me to one day become a CEO of my own business enterprise. God has a way of taking the disconnected pieces of your life and bringing them all together to shape your destiny. Whether you grew up poor, middle class, or wealthy, your experiences play a role in your life. Whether you had one parent or both parents or were raised in a foster home, how you grew up matters to your life. Whether you were popular in school or you were the wallflower who was awkward and uncomfortable in social situations, you were affected by that. Nothing you have been through will be wasted. Every element of who you are has brought you to where you are and will continue to influence you on your way to destiny. Every person has had some experiences that elicited the question, why am I going through this? Why did my father die and leave us destitute? Why was my stepbrother so mean to me? Why did I have cancer as a child? Why did I have to quit college to take care of my alcoholic mother? Our difficulties shape our lives, but so do the normal everyday experiences. Situations that seemed insignificant may have had a greater impact on your life than you ever realized, like running errands for Miss Ruth, the lady next door, cutting lawns to earn money when school was out, having a newspaper route, playing basketball, running for homecoming queen, or getting a part-time job flipping burgers are all experiences that can help build us up and shape us for a purpose that is greater than anything we could see at the time. When you are blessed to operate in destiny, you can look back on your experiences and see how all of them help position you. You realize that the situations that looked like delays actually were opportunities to grow, to gain experience, and to meet people who would help you later in life. See how God used all of these events to shape you. Even the things you didn't want, if you allow them, can be building blocks to a stronger, better you. When destiny is your focus, you will realize that not one experience you've had, not one lesson you've learned, not one heartache you've suffered, not one tear you've shed is wasted. Don't worry about who didn't raise you, whether Papa was a Rolling Stone. Let go of who didn't love you if your heart was broken by someone who pretended to care. If you open yourself to them, these things can be used to build you up, not tear you down. Learn to look differently at everything you've been through and give up the victim mentality. God will use all your experiences to fortify you with wisdom and knowledge to fulfill your destiny. Why does God do it that way? Why didn't God just equip you with what you need without putting you through all of that? The answer is pretty simple. You cannot bring people where you have not been. God allows you to experience some things and then brings you through them so that you can help others because of what you've been through. How can you lead others to a place you are still wishing for or have never been? The best education you receive to equip you for destiny will not come from a classroom, not even in prestigious institutions like Harvard or Howard or Vassar or Morehouse. It will come from the trials and difficulties that you go through. Every experience, good or bad, has shaped you into the person you are today. God wouldn't have brought you through it if there were nothing more for you to aspire to. You are the sum total of your experiences, and each round should take you into the next dimension. Your strength should build from one situation to the next. When you have your first scare as a business owner, you feel like everything will cave in on you, but it prepares you for the next episode. When you make it through, you learn that God is able to send people and resources to you that you never imagined. Then the next challenge comes. This time, you're not devastated or immobilized because this ain't your first time at the rodeo. You're able to keep your calm as you work diligently. You can encourage your employees to remain hopeful as you work together and stay strong through your latest business challenge. Each experience, each challenge, each lesson will take you to the next dimension, building on what's already inside of you. Whether you know it or not, God's been prepping you for destiny before you were even aware that you had a destiny. God has been preparing you for what you are about to do all of your life. You have had no wasted experiences. Destiny requires street cred. God lets you go through challenges to give you credibility in a certain area and the ability to help someone else out of a situation that you once were in. How could you possibly encourage me that I will make it through a bankruptcy if you've been wealthy and privileged all your life? You need street cred to talk to me. You need to be able to tell me how you couldn't get a car loan and had to bum a ride to get to work until things got better. How can you tell me how to raise my children in the ghetto if your children grew up in the Hamptons? You need street cred to talk to me about how you were a teenage father who worked at McDonald's while you finished high school to help take care of your child. I spoke to a group of young pastors who were very frustrated that their ministries weren't progressing as quickly as they anticipated. I told them you have to earn the right to be heard. People won't just follow you because you say so. They will only follow you when you have endured, developed, grown, and sometimes suffered. That's not true just of pastors. Every leader must have the credibility to lead through experience. You can't be healed without having had an illness, lifted from poverty without experiencing destitution, or delivered without ever having been ensnared. Avoiding the process doesn't create the promise. Instead, it is the gateway to problems. What matters most is not found in the destination, but is revealed in the issues that we have to resolve along the way to destiny. The Bible rightly says that experience brings about patience and patience brings forth hope. This isn't simply a matter of a degree. It isn't about a trophy. It is the hard work of training, rehearsals, failure, and rebounding over and over again. I had an opportunity to address a group of students who had been selected for Fox News' prestigious Ailes Apprentice Program. The visionary of the program, Fox News chairman and CEO Roger Ailes, shared that he started the mentorship program to introduce more minorities to the field of journalism. He understands that the gap isn't closed by degrees alone, but also by inclusion and access to the relationships that lead to discovery and promotion. He realized that although many minorities have earned degrees, they typically don't have relationships inside the media to get the hand up that is often needed to move a resume from the bottom to the top of the pile or to nail down a job. Education is not enough for people who have historically and systematically been excluded and denied access. Although you can have a degree, what is needed to achieve maximum success is hands-on experience in an environment that extends beyond textbooks. An opportunity to move from the classroom to the world of trials and tests that come in a real work environment. If your parents didn't come from that world, you have a much harder time getting a foot in the door or breaking through a glass ceiling. Ailes' idea was to provide a mentorship program for minority students to gain access and build contacts while being paid. I walked away from that event with a confirmation that education doesn't trump experience. Street cred is hard won, and destiny requires you to pay it forward. God helps you through hard times so you can help someone else. If you were able to get off drugs but walk around today like you don't even know what drugs are, you're not helping anybody. Even if you work every day, pay your taxes, go to church, and serve in the community organizations, if you're not using what you've been through to encourage someone else, you're not helping anybody. Tell people how you collected cans to pay your rent or how you worked three jobs while you put yourself through college or how you took care of two aging parents while you raised two children.